WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. It is beautiful outside.
It is really lovely outside.
Why are you not?
Dude, my freak.
Oh, man, that's so bad. Man.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. I'm pretty sure our listeners could still hear me, though. Which
I set the board
to how I loudly I speak.
I set the board to CD3 instead of mic 3.
Oh, that's so cute, D.
Sorry about that, Shay.
It wouldn't be our show if you didn't screw something up.
Let me reset. It is beautiful outside.
It is indeed.
I mean, these are like, wow, you don't get a lot of days like this around here.
Well, it's weird too because it was like thunderstormy and crazy for a while, and then all of a sudden it was just
yeah. Enjoy this while it lasts, because probably by next week it'll be 100 and humid.
Well, and I love too that you're wearing a full-length sleeved Bruin shirt.
Go Bees! You got my
in June.
I'm rocking my Rask sweater. Well, because the game is on tonight. Now
it is.
Before you
has it begun yet?
Before you're like, oh my god, the game!
Oh, the game! Oh my goodness!
They're not supposed to drop the puck until 8 o'clock. And for those of you who've been watching these games, you know the games don't start until 8:30.
I was gonna say the actual like part of the game that you wanna pay attention to is going to happen around 8:45.
No, like
so.
NBC messes around for 25 minutes, and then there's another 10 minutes of commercials in there, and then we play hockey. It's like, so just hang out with us, and we'll have some fun. We're going to do something really, really cool in about 30 minutes or so, because today is a very, very important anniversary. And
today's June 12th.
It is the 25th anniversary of something very important.
Oh my God, I have to look this up.
And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to take you through one of the most amazing events in American history. But before we do that, let's get...
Keep in mind that this is Derek saying this, so...
No. You
have to take that concept with a grain of salt.
Believe me, you will consider this time well spent. but before that, we got to do the local stuff to keep the FCC happy.
Hi, FCC. We love you. Thank you for letting us do this.
You're the best, Ajit Pai.
You're the best in the whole wide world.
We love you.
This is technically not local,
no,
but
it's
got
to be. No, give me local. It has to be local off the top
of
the show.
It's of local concern. Let's put it that way.
Okay. This better not be a national story that you're trying to pass off as local.
No, this is the alleged gunman in the shooting of former Boston Red Sox star David Ortiz has been arrested, according to Juan Elen Rodriguez, who's the Attorney General of the Dominican Republic. Suspect Rolfi Ferreira Cruz, who's 25, has confessed to shooting Ortiz. Authorities believe Ferreira Cruz and 6 other men were involved in the shooting of the MLB All-Star out of Boston. That's why I consider this local. Dominican National Police Director Ney Aldrin Batista El Monte said only one man remained at large on Wednesday. It is unclear what charges the suspects are expected to face, but investigators are treating the case as attempted murder. And the reason I consider this a local story is because even though it happened in the Dominican Republic, of all the athletes that have, it's weird. The only word I can think of is performed, because he literally, I mean, it was like a performance when he would step up to bat at Fenway. But of all the athletes that have performed in Boston, I mean, he meant so much, still means so much to our city. And even to the point where, I mean, when that news broke, I happened to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and Marty Walsh talked about him. Like, the Boston police commissioner talked about him. It wasn't just that he was the DH for the Red Sox. Especially when the marathon bombing happened, he was such a pillar of hope for the Boston community in general.
Okay. I have to preface this by saying, please, no death threats. And I am not here to kick a man when he's down. I don't.
Oh, you're about to say something terrible.
I don't do that. From the Associated Press. New information out of the Dominican Republic Wednesday showed a sophisticated attack was carried out in the shooting of Red Sox legend David Ortiz. In a court document obtained by the Associated Press Wednesday, Dominican prosecutors said witnesses and security camera video show the ambush was carried out by two men on a motorcycle and two other groups of people in cars, indicating a new level of sophistication in the attack. Mm. Investigators say a cell phone recovered from the scene led them to the gunman, 25-year-old Rolfi Ferreira. There's a lot of letters here in a combination. Rolfi Ferreira. He was captured Tuesday alongside three other suspects. Olivier Moses.
This is crazy because mine was from CNN and it was updated an hour ago.
Olivier Moses.
That's absurd.
Mirabal Acosta, who was captured Tuesday night in the town of Mao in the Northern Dominican Republic, was driving a gray Hyundai Accent before mounting the bike driven by 25-year-old Eddie Vladimir Feliz Garcia, the document said. The document also said the two men were seen on security camera footage talking with other people in the Accent and another Hyundai in a nearby street before the shooting at 9:20 p.m. on Sunday. In one of the videos, it was possible to observe both the accused and the shooter planning the commission of the incident right on Octavio Meja Richards Street, which is parallel to the place where the event took place. The document also reveals ineptitude, saying the driver was captured after he skidded and fell off his bike as the pair tried to flee. So, what do we have? We have three vehicles. We have at least five people. We have one person who gets out of a car and gets onto an electric bike or a moped that is removed from one of these vehicles. We have everybody talking about it. This is not a random attack. That creates a limited number of reasons why this attack would happen. One of them, one possibility, is that this is some punk kid trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, like trying to do something, anything to be known.
I'm gonna get noticed. I'm gonna take down like the local hero, and then everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, he's a bad man." That does not reflect negatively in any way, shape, or form on David Ortiz. The second is that someone is trying to send a message to someone that David Ortiz knows. Again, that does not reflect negatively in any way, shape, or form on David Ortiz. The third possibility, and the one that you may want to brace yourself for, is that David Ortiz is involved in some kind of activity in the Dominican Republic that would lead to someone wanting to take him out.
But honestly, okay, so that's definitely a possibility. But at the same time, I really, and I say this at the risk of sounding incredibly snobby, but I had a lot of friends. I grew up in Quincy, as our listeners know. I talk about it a lot. And I had a lot of friends in Quincy who basically resented me for going to private school and for going to college, both of which I had a scholarship for. Like, really, really resented me for getting out of Quincy.
You let us down, man. We thought you were one of us, man.
Yeah, essentially.
Oh, look, here comes Bookie Girl. Here comes a smart girl. Oh, you're so fancy, Shea Spillane.
But that's, like, when I heard about this story, that was the first reaction that I had was it's a bunch of people from DR that are pissed at David Ortiz that he did something, that he left, that he... Even if it was a stupid, my favorite, but still just a stupid sport, he made something of himself. And I mean, I got punched in the face once. because I left and went to college and everybody else stayed behind and started doing heroin. And as I was getting punched in the face, I said, why is this even happening? And she said, because you're a bougie priss that goes to Fordham.
It's pretty fair.
Oh, I mean, for Quincy Sanders, I absolutely was a bougie priss that went to Fordham.
Yeah, I think that's an apt description of you. Shea Spillane, bougie priss.
But thank you, Derek. That's one of my best friends. She said one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me.
You are very bougie.
You're bougie, Shea.
I am so bougie. I make
you. You're wearing like a $300 Bruin shirt right now.
These don't cost $300.
I'm sorry, $250.
They don't even cause that. I'm wearing my Rask jersey for those who are wondering, all right, to support my team.
Only baseball matters. Anyways,
okay, now you're getting the death threats.
But my point being that even though, I mean, getting punched in the face sucks.
Yeah, don't recommend it.
A lot. It hurts a lot, especially if it's right in a bone. It's terrible. But when I heard about David Ortiz, that was the first thing that I thought was just that it was, especially because that would not have happened to him in Boston because he is beloved here. He is beloved. I'm surprised that he doesn't get injuries from thorns from roses being thrown at him when he's in Boston.
Like, by the way, he violated Wild Bill Hickok's cardinal rule. Never sit with your back to the door of the bar.
That is actually my number one rule as well.
The one time Wild Bill Hickok did not follow that rule, we know what happened to him, and we know why he had that rule in the first place. That was my thought, too. Was it like, what happened? Was this like some maniac kid? Is it just random gunfire? You know, there's a lot of ways you can get shot. When you hear that this was organized and planned...
This isn't
your situation where some dum-dum comes along and they're like, you're a bougie priss, and punches you in the face because they're angry that they're never going to get anywhere.
I love
in life.
That we can hear a siren as we're talking about this.
This is...
I don't know if our listeners can hear that. There's a siren outside right now.
This is somebody...
very specifically, purposely doing this.
This was a targeted hit. There's really no other way for me to describe it. This was a targeted hit. And when you have a targeted hit on somebody, you have to start, and the police are going to start asking the question, why was this person targeted?
What's going on here? There's no question. I know exactly why he was. That's what I was saying, is that he just... Like, do you know how many crimes have been committed out of spite and jealousy? Like,
but this isn't that.
No, I believe it is. It is.
You don't have like four vehicles and five people involved.
If it's David Ortiz and it's the Dominican Republic, you have to realize the fact too that it's like, okay, so in America, in any major city at any given time, there's going to be a lot of celebrities. There's going to be a lot of important people.
Yeah.
Just living in Los Angeles, living in New York, I would run into famous people randomly all the time. I went in to use the bathroom at a bar in Tribeca once, and my brother texted me, and I said, why are you texting me while you know that I am using the bathroom? And he said, because Pacey just walked into the bar. Pacey, for those of you who do not know the reference, is Joshua Jackson, who was Pacey on the show Dawson's Creek, who is so hot. Fine. But in the DR, in most other countries, it's not like that. It's not having a celebrity be in your presence is very rare. And with that in mind, in America, we're not, I don't want to say we're not as angry at celebrities, but it's more common of a situation so we don't really condemn them or have viciousness against them or anything that.
Not for David. I know where you're going with this. Not for David Ortiz. David Ortiz has given so much back and given so much money.
I know, but that's...
He's like Manny Pacquiao. He's one of these guys that walks on water and is revered like a god among people in his country. If he ran for office, they would make him president.
But there are still people. I mean, think of Selena. Think of Selena. Selena was killed...
By a deranged fan.
By someone who loved her probably more than anyone else did.
Yeah, but...
After she did so much for her country. That's what I think is happening here.
Selena's
that,
killer didn't have a bunch of people helping her make the perfect getaway.
I mean, she could have. We don't know.
No. This was a hit. When I read the description of that video,
but what did David Ortiz do?
This is the question, and this is why I say you may have to brace yourself for an unpleasant revelation about what the guy's doing back home.
But I can't. That's the thing is that I can't. I mean, I have a friend who is a forget the term she uses, but is a Sox Roxer or something. She hangs out with the Red Sox and does things.
Yeah. We call them groupies in the music world.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't know what whatever the sports version of groupies is.
Groupies.
But she has hung out with David and Manny and this is like, you know, years ago, obviously, but said, like, as much as they're kind of bachelors and what have you, they're good men. They wouldn't be involved in...
Listen, Michael Vick was, as far as anybody knew, a great guy until we found out he was bankrolling a dog fighting ring. Yeah. And it's like, all I'm saying, I'm not saying that there's anything going on here. I'm saying brace yourself. Because we may find out that there is.
That there is.
I hope there isn't. I love David Ortiz. He's been great to the city of Boston.
I loved him too. And I loved watching like Marty Walsh and Jason Veritek and Terry Francona. Like so many people just came out saying how worried they were about this. And it speaks to his character because there are plenty of professional athletes that...
Or John Rocker.
That the city, their teammates, their coach would not come out.
Yeah.
In defense.
They'd be like, they're not going to say, yeah, that guy got what he deserved, but that's what they're thinking.
But they'll just say nothing.
They're like, our thoughts go out to the family. It's tragedy. We have no idea how this could have happened. Yes, you do.
Well, I do hope. It sounds like he's doing okay. I like that they flied him to Mass General.
Also from the
flew him, flied him.
Yes,
flied him.
Flew well, it's. I mean, you're not going to leave him to die in a Dominican hospital. I mean, it's here's one thing that's a general truth, kids. Medical care in the Dominican Republic is not as good as medical care in Boston. It's not as good as medical care in Alabama.
That is perhaps the most apt thing that anyone's ever said. It's not as good as it.
if you can avoid getting abdominal surgery in the Dominican Republic, you really, really want to do this.
I mean, the sheer fact that he was able to be airlifted to Boston. I mean, how far is DR from here? Like 6 hours?
Yeah. But they got helicopters that did and planes that do that sort of thing. So.
I know, but it's still kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't know if he's got any organs left from what I heard about the surgery. They were just in there like taking stuff. Like,
gallbladder, liver.
What's
they
this?
They took a piece of his liver off.
Do you need
and
this
they
to live?
Removed his gallbladder.
Yeah. They took part of his intestine and part of his colon. And it's like.
Yeah. And they took part of his colon and part of his intestine, which technically his colon is part of his intestine.
Whoever shot him.
They shot him in the back.
No, no,
and
no.
It basically just ripped through.
I know. But whoever shot him was trying to kill him.
Yep.
And he's
very,
lucky.
Very, very, very definitely.
He's lucky he didn't get shot in the head. I don't know why he didn't get shot in the head, other than the kid that was doing this was scared witless, as was the getaway driver, apparently. Anyway.
Jesus.
Also from the Associated Press, Federal records show the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority has one of the highest rates of derailments among the nation's public transit systems.
Cute.
Why might we be bringing this up? The MBTA is reeling from two subway train derailments in recent days, including one that occurred on the Red Line Tuesday in Boston that was continuing to cause disruptions for commuters Wednesday. The Boston Globe reported that its review of federal records showed 43 train derailments the five-year period of 2014 to 2018. That was second only to New Orleans, which logged 72 derailments on its smaller system of above-ground streetcars.
I'm sorry, it's a terrible thing to laugh at, but
transportation officials,
it's absurd.
Transportation officials say about one-third of the derailments during that period involved maintenance vehicles that did not have passengers. And they say the uptick in derailments also may be partially due to stricter reporting requirements. That's one of the refuges of a scoundrel, by the way. Oh, well, you know, that number's up because it's reported more now. No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. You're making that up. And by the way, the other two-thirds of those derailments involve trains and not utility vehicles. Bad news if you're planning on using the Red Line, by the way, because that little...
I was going to say, that's the funny thing is that... I grew up on the Red Line. The second privilege I was allowed by my parents was to ride the Red Line. The first was to cross Granite Street in Quincy, in Brooklyn Parkway in Quincy, but then to use the Red Line. And the Red Line I always think of as just the most reliable T line. You compare it to anything else and... I mean, the orange is absurd.
Orange used to be great. When I was growing up, the orange never failed.
Oh, I rode the orange the other day. I have a gigantic bruise on my... Oh, actually, that was on the blue line. I'm sorry. I got on the blue line the other day. And I walk on wearing the flip-flops I'm wearing right now. And I slipped on a nice coffee and just...
Well, that's not the train's fault.
Fell on my... Well, it's the... passengers that ride that train's fault. I straight fell all of my weight onto my knee. I have a gigantic bruise on my knee. And a second after I fell, a woman sitting there said, "Oh my God, someone just spilled an iced coffee there, and I totally meant to tell everyone getting on that it was there." And I looked at her and said...
Was she a millennial?
No, she was like 50. But I looked at her and said, thanks. That's super helpful after the 6-foot-tall, 200-pound woman has fallen onto her knee.
That
you dumb.
That recategorizes it. That's a Gen Xer laughing at your misfortune because they don't like millennials.
The weird thing is, like, I mean, I've ridden, that's what, when I posted about it on Facebook, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, you were riding the blue line? Like, you just go everywhere." And I was like, "Yeah, I do, but I'm a red line girl. I was trying to get to the red line." And I've always, and not even being biased, like, just given the fact that I've ridden every line a million times, the red line has always, to me, been, like, the most... prestigious line.
As a former Red Line rider, I've seen a lot of shenanigans on that line.
I mean, definitely.
A lot of shenanigans.
It goes through a lot of college areas and things like that, but
in terms of cleanliness, directness,
oh, are you kidding? Compared to the orange line or the green line, the red line just kicks the butt off of them.
See, I know the orange line is a problem now. It didn't used to be. The green line...
The orange line significantly smells like various kinds of feces every time I ride it.
That's always been true. And you can and you can buy guns on the orange line. So it's like everybody knows that.
Oh, how do you think I bought my gun? But I'm just like, kidding, Mom. I don't own a gun.
They used to at least run on a regular basis. additional detail from CBS Boston. The train, this was yesterday's derailment. The train... crashed into multiple bungalows. I guess this is what the MBTA calls them, bungalows.
Oh, my goodness.
that house the hardware controlling the MBTA's signal system.
Bungalows are places that people live. They're not places that house what?
The train crashed into multiple bungalows that house the hardware controlling the MBTA's signal system.
Oh my God, I want to punch them.
Those repairs could take days to complete. So not only did the train go off the tracks, not only did the train take out a chunk of the station, it also took out the signals on the red line. So you can't operate anything. And it's like this train did maximum damage on its way off the rails. Don't we live in an era?
I was going to say, I have so much trouble. Exactly that. I have so much trouble making peace with... Oh, that was so close. I have so much trouble making peace with, in this day and age, with all of the technology and information and available engineering and all of those things, even conceptualizing something like this happening.
Yeah. Don't we?
How are you legitimizing this?
Do we not live in an age?
How is this possible?
Do we not live in an age, Shea Spillane, where
we have 10 years ago,
where you could take the train signal controls and move them out of an area where trains can destroy them?
Exactly. Like 10 years, probably more. Maybe it was 15 years ago. We cloned a sheep.
Yeah.
We cloned a sheep. And we can't keep the trains on the right freaking track.
If only we had things like...
Oh my goodness.
Wireless signals or infrared or...
Oh wait. But we have all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the closest I've ever come.
Yeah. Who can blame you? So Maya Mahdi is telling everybody to take the MBTA into Boston. If you're south of Boston, good luck, because they're going to be busing people between the Red Line stations for...
Oh, I've been taking the bus between Red Line stations for months now.
Yeah.
Because they were already doing construction on them.
Which means nobody's getting anywhere.
Nope.
It was pandemonium. It was the Lord of the Flies out there yesterday with people trying to get on the buses.
Well, that's the thing, is beyond the fact that I know you disagree with me, but beyond the fact that the Red Line, as I said, has typically been like the cleanest, most whatever line, it's also the most central line, if you think about it. I mean, it connects the North Shore to the South Shore.
Yeah.
It goes through South Station, it goes through Park Street, it goes through all of the main areas that a person that's living in Greater Boston needs to go to. So if the Red Line shuts down, I mean, Boston basically shuts down. Even as a kid, as I said, one of the first privileges I got was to ride the Red Line, and... But my parents said that I was only allowed to ride it to Central or Harvard, because they didn't want me going to Southie and they didn't want me going to Somerville.
What, they didn't want you going?
Which they referred to as Slumerville.
They didn't want you going?
This was 1998. So at the time, it was not what it is now.
That's when Davis was the Paris of the 90s.
My parents looked at it a little differently. Mom, if you're listening, just call Derek and vouch for this.
Davis in the 90s was nice. Davis in the 90s was super safe. Davis in the 90s was safer than Central.
If you were from the South Shore, like my father was from Dorchester, my mother was from Quincy, it was just a basic rule that you do not like people from the North Shore.
No, and that's Somerville. We don't like you, Southies.
Somerville
either.
Is like the first part that you consider the North Shore.
You people from Quincy are the worst. We don't
like Cambridge.
We don't. Yeah,
I'm giving him a gesture I can't say on the radio.
We don't want you in our towns.
We don't want you in ours.
That's why we don't go down there.
Well,
we have no reason
good.
To.
You're not welcome.
Your beaches are crap. Your drugs are awful.
I disagree on one of those points.
Everyone knows the best drugs are up in the Merrimack Valley.
I know. That's why the beaches thing is what I was disagreeing with.
Yeah.
But But it was always just like the way to get anywhere was the red line. Like, just you take the red line, you can take it to Park Street and get on the green line. You can take it to Downtown Crossing, get on the orange line. You can take it to, I forget how you connect to the, you have to take the orange line to the blue line. But anyways, it's like the most centralized thing. So the red line being defunct, like, that's what, even when I was working in Cambridge, it was so frustrating because my mom would say, like, so you don't have to take your car, do you want me to drive you to the red line? And I'm like, where? Like, like Quincy Center, Wollaston, and North Quincy are all closed. The closest one is JFK, which is 10 minutes beyond where you work. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I spent a lot of Friday nights drunk out of my mind on the red line when I worked down in the financial district.
Oh, I love being drunk on the red line. It's so much fun.
True story. It is WMFO Medford. 25 years ago today, something happened that has had a profound impact on our country, on our way of life, on everything that is going on in this country comes through this. This is what started it, but this was one of the flashpoints of it. On that night, a bartender slash waiter by the name of Ron Goldman decided to bring a pair of glasses back to a customer named Nicole Brown.
Oh my God, that was today.
The next morning, they would both be found dead in one of the grisliest crime scenes that Los Angeles police had ever seen. Nicole Brown's head was nearly severed with a knife.
She was almost decapitated.
Ron Goldman suffered horrific injuries and appeared to have tried to fight off his attacker.
Yeah, he had defensive wounds on his hands.
And evidence very quickly pointed to Orenthal James Simpson.
I can't believe that was 25 years ago.
It was 25 years ago tonight was when the murders happened.
I can't believe it. That honestly is one of my earliest memories.
5 days later, as the evidence mounted against O.J. Simpson, on a Friday night, America tuned in after work, hoping to catch Game 5 of the NBA Finals or whatever was on ABC that night, and instead found themselves watching one of the most amazing televised spectacles in U.S. history. In honor of that, we are going to play As It Happened.
Oh, my goodness.
The last hour, just about the last hour of the O.J. Simpson chase. And Shay and I,
the slowest chase in human history. Shay,
if you've seen the movie The Last Jedi, it borrowed its plot from this. And we're going to talk about what was going on with this. So we are trying to think which station this is. This is one of the Chicago TV stations. This was recorded from. That is broadcasting Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
They put it in the box to...
It is the Houston Rockets versus the New York Knicks. The Rockets would go on to win this particular NBA Final. And everybody's just thinking they're going to watch basketball. And then this.
3 seconds. Violation called. Out of line.
This is a Channel 5 News special report.
There is a rather amazing story developing in Los Angeles this hour where California Highway Patrol is in pursuit of a white Ford Bronco, a car that was reported to be one that might contain O.J. Simpson and a friend earlier today. Everybody assumes. Looking now at a live picture in Southern California.
We're going to switch live to KNBC's coverage of the events as they are unfolding.
And one psychiatrist. And he was with those people this morning when he was supposed to turn himself in, when he was supposed to go with the policeman down to Parker Center.
What was very interesting, we were listening to his attorney. Apparently his attorney and the doctors were upstairs, I believe, in a conference room or a den area with the police officers. O.J. was downstairs with his friend Al Cowlings when they went down, when the police arrived to take him into custody. Apparently, they went downstairs, and within a matter of 15 to 20 minutes, they had lost touch with him, and that's the only leeway he had. He disappeared. He and his friend had disappeared from downstairs.
The juice is loose. Where'd he go? The police are standing around like, where'd he go? Has anyone seen O.J.?
Simpson and for Mr. Shapiro, his attorney, that he indeed was not a risk to flee, that he indeed would be available for questioning and or surrender if and when he should be charged.
I love like the one person that they should be keeping track of.
Yeah,
just slipped through their fingers.
It never occurred to the police in a million years that someone of OJ's status would just up and walk away.
Yeah,
that's done on a regular basis.
Oh my goodness!
I believe he mentioned the case of Eric Menendez. He had.
And now, at the time that this takes place,
for him to surrender from Israel when it came.
High speed California police chases are entertainment.
Oh yeah.
They cut into live broadcasts in LA all the time with chases. And people would just sit there and watch them. And the cable stations would broadcast them around the country.
I would say, and this people were gathering on the overpasses and holding signs and yelling like everybody knew that this was happening. Like that's the craziest part is that one would think that everyone would be mad that they interrupted the NBA playoffs for this.
Yeah, they are.
But nobody was.
No.
Everybody was so interested.
At this point.
And I remember, I mean, I was 7 years old. And I remember even then not really understanding what was going on. Like, I even said to my mother at one point, is O.J. going to come and kill me? She said, no, he only kills people he knows.
Yeah.
You're okay. But I remember even at that young of an age understanding how big a deal this was.
And at this point, we're about...
Especially because it was like I'd seen the Naked Gun. Like, he was a big deal outside of football, even.
We're three minutes into it. 3 minutes into the interruption, and they, by this point, they've taken the NBA game off. They've gone to full screen on the O.J. chase, and now they've got the NBA game back on as a little tiny inset in the corner. Nobody's watching the NBA game anymore.
Yeah, no one cares anymore.
You can't even hear the audio from the NBA game. They don't have the score up on the screen.
And it's literally a white Ford Bronco driving on the highway. Like, that's the craziest part. Is this what I loved about watching?
Here we go.
Tell us. Pete?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah,
Anything new here?
Vehicles now westbound on the 91 freeway approaching Beach
Boulevard.
Westbound 91 approaching Beach?
Yes. Apparently, it's still 30 to 40 miles an hour. Sheriffs are still the primary unit behind the vehicle. He made a call to our dispatch a few minutes ago. Or apparently, a male made a call. I believe it was his passenger or driver, Al Cowley, made the call. we're not certain who is driving the vehicle at this time.
So now you're saying that there are two people in there?
That's correct. Initially it came out as only one was observed in the vehicle, but via the phone call, apparently there's two of them in the vehicle, and apparently O.J. Simpson is now holding a gun to his head and wants to be transported to his mother's house. So I have no further details at this time, Paul.
Oh, Pete, okay, thank you. Let me just confirm that O.J. Simpson is in that truck holding a gun to his head, demanding to be taken to his mother. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's all we have at this time. And I really have to go now, Paul.
All right, Pete, go do what you have to do. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, that certainly is a dramatic turn in all of this.
So prior to doing this, and I don't know if we're going to get that audio on this report, O.J. had sent out three letters.
Yes.
One to his mother, one to his kids, and one to the public.
Yes.
Basically saying, I'm done, I've had enough.
Like, I'm going to kill myself.
Exactly.
Well, that's what, I mean, I, that's what was so interesting about, the documentary that they did through FX, The People versus O.J. Simpson, is that one of the lines that really touched me the most was, what's his name? His original attorney, the guy that...
Robert Kardashian?
No. The guy that represented the...
Oh, the Menendez brothers. Not Cochran, not...
the guy that John Travolta played.
Yeah. It'll come to me.
But whatever. One of his attorneys said, who signs a suicide note with a smiley face?
Yeah.
And that's, well, when, that's the thing, when this originally happened, I was skeptical.
Robert Shapiro,
thank you. But when this originally happened, like I said, I mean, I was like 7 years old. And then I'd obviously heard about it a lot after that. And one of my really good friends actually was roommates with O.J. Simpson's daughter at BU. And she said, like, I know my father killed my mother. Like, she was very open about it.
Wow.
And I remember hearing her say that when we were at a party. She was drunk, and it was just like, I'm looking at her trying to be super not awkward, and she's like, I know what you're thinking, so I'll just say it. I know my father killed my mother.
Yikes.
And I was just like, yeah, it was a...
Yikes. Well, that's more than America knows, so, you know, but, you heard it here.
But when they finally released, I was still skeptical about the whole thing. And then I believe it was about 5 years ago, they released the entire court docket of the entire trial. Just the, it was like 200 pages long, just all of the evidence, everything. And I read it cover to cover in one night.
And we have the game in the lower.
And all I could think was, how the hell did he not get convicted? Like, this is absurd. Like, this is.
We'll get to that.
Oh my God. I can say hell. The FCC is not going to mad at me.
Obviously,
I love
the,
you, Joel.
The officers in the black and whites behind are well aware of the situation and what has transpired in that truck, and are being very, very careful in the way that they handle this.
I would say it actually holds the world record for the slowest high-speed chase ever. More black and
whites in the look at the people going southbound.
He's got like 10 black and whites behind him
that are looking at this.
And I've lived in L.A. and driven on these highways like a million times.
Two counts of murder. His ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her companion, Ron Goldman, the young
We're
man,
now getting into the
old,
shots of people on the bridges. Cars stopped on the bridges.
Yeah.
Over the highway.
Just to look at this happening.
Yeah, everybody's looking at this and waving at O.J.
Just returning a pair of sunglasses on Sunday
and cheering
night.
Him on.
Yeah.
That's the craziest said, part. Well, because he was, time. I mean...
All right, we've got Conan Nolan,
for so
who I
many
believe
people,
is ahead of the pursuit somewhere on the phone. Conan, can you hear
he
me?
He was like the male America
Hello,
sweetheart.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Conan. Go ahead. Where are you?
Well, we are right in front of O.J. Simpson's vehicle, and as I say that, let me assure you that there's no way he knows that this is a television truck. We are not taking his picture directly. There's no indication at all. We look like another undercover police vehicle for all he knows. But we are about, I'd say, 200 feet in front of him. I can tell you that this is the most bizarre scene. Not only is a fleet of Highway Patrol, Orange County Sheriff, and LAPD behind him, trailing him at a considerable distance, all of their lights flashing, traveling at about 30 miles per hour. I smell a little more than that. I'd say about 45, 50 miles per hour.
It's absurd.
But they roadblocked all of the 91 freeway, and there are cars, people have parked on the side to watch this spectacle. The opposite off-ramp, the opposite lane, people have come to a standstill. People have gotten out of their cars.
Well, that's the craziest thing.
This is on a freeway in Los Angeles
on a Friday night.
People are pulling over in the high speed lane.
I was going to say, I have sat there for 3 hours on this exact highway trying to go 10 miles.
Yeah. People are stopped in the high speed lane, parking, getting out of their car,
to try to get
and
a pic,
waving
like,
at OJ as he drives
OJ
by.
Simpson. Oh, my goodness.
I would count at least.
Well, I love too that he just made like a loop around all of the LA freeways, LA and Orange County freeways.
There are headlights flashing as well. Sirens can be heard. They are trailing him, and the dispatch has made sure that they know that this is a very despondent man who does not want to be overtaken. They are not in
very despondent man.
They just went over a bridge jammed with people. Traffic stopped in both directions. Everybody out of their cars waving.
Is in the center lane of the 91 freeway, which is completely void of automobile traffic, with the exception of just a few cars. There have been traffic breaks on all the on-ramps here. There are a tremendous amount of cars on the westbound lanes that have stopped. People are out of their cars. They're waving at O.J. Simpson as he drives by. But this is not a man,
so
I don't
insane.
Believe, who is interested in this kind of frivolity. It's a very serious situation here, and I can tell you one that is hard to believe with my own eyes.
Conan.
So we will rejoin this after a break to take care of some FCC things and some information
FCC,
things.
FCC, we love you.
I will say, it's a night I remember vividly.
It's a night I remember vividly, and I was only, like I said, I was only like 7 years old.
I was, and the thing to keep in mind is, when this happened, this is 1994. There is no internet.
I guess I was 8 years old. Sorry.
There is no internet. Okay.
No.
Some people have cellular phones, but mobile phones are very uncommon. It's like a rich person's toy still at that point. They're starting to become mainstream, but they're not all over the place. Some people are using like AOL and, you know, email and things like that. But it's nowhere near a mainstream technology. So what we have for entertainment are videotapes, laser discs, and whatever happens to be on cable. And on Friday night, who's not out, Friday night is date night. So if you don't have a date, you're staying home. Like, friend night to go out is Saturday. Friday night is date night. So everybody who doesn't have anyone to hang out with is going home and drinking on Friday night. And just at the perfect time, just as that buzz starts to kick in, boom, here comes the OJ chase. It is WMFO Medford. I have to type this into the machine to make everybody happy.
91.5 FM.
They like it when we say that, too. Mm-hmm. If we mention Ajit Pai, how much we love you and what a great job we think you're doing.
He was more
you're
disappointed.
The best.
Yeah, at the FCC.
You expect that.
Well, it's funny. Like, PJ is just kind of like, he doesn't know what to say.
My God. That just threw me for a minute. Apparently, I let this play through and that was playing.
I mean, we were just watching something from 25 years ago that was terrifying.
Yeah,
it's normal to be thrown for a loop.
that was just playing a clip from an old episode of the program, and I'm like, what the heck was that? I'm like, where is that noise coming from, and why does that sound like my voice? I really should have typed this stuff in before when I was doing the thing. All right, here we go.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your bus and 5-day forecast. It's good. Generally speaking, it's good. Tonight, it's going down into the 50s, so good night for sleeping. Tomorrow, we got one kind of marginal day to get through. Thunderstorms, rain, wind, clouds, high, only around 60 degrees tomorrow. Low's going to be about the same tomorrow night, 60 degrees. And then Friday, partly cloudy. High in the low 70s. Low of about 60 Friday night. Saturday, partly cloudy. High of about 80 degrees. Low in the mid-60s Saturday night. Sunday, mostly cloudy. High in the mid-70s. Low of about 70 degrees. And not too terribly humid for any of those 3 days either. Little humid, but not terribly humid.
Not terribly humid.
Nice.
A nice balance of humidity.
Nice late spring weather. As we say goodbye to spring, we are into the final days of spring.
We have 10 days or 9 days.
It's the 20. What's today?
21st.
Today's the 12th, so it's the 21st.
Yeah, so 9 days.
So Friday, the 14th, will begin that 2-week period of the longest days of the year here in New England. Where the sun doesn't really go down until 9 o'clock at night.
Well, I'll be in. Oh, yes. Listeners, please know I love you very much, but I'm going to be in one of the Dakotas next week. I think I'll be in North Dakota during the show next week.
Sun goes down way sooner out there because they got the mountains.
Yes, it does.
But it's always...
And there's also no buildings to block the sun going down, so I may not see it.
Yep, but it's really...
That's noticeable.
But you've lived in L.A., I've lived in L.A. This time of year, the sun's out till 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah. And legitimately, like, I remember when I found out about Alaska, how there are, like, 3 days a year where it's just completely light out or completely dark. I was like... I was like maybe 7 years old. And I was like, I want to go to Alaska and jump rope outside at 3 o'clock in the morning because I can, because it's light out. And my art teacher who told me about this was like, it's still 3 o'clock in the morning though. Like, you'll be tired and everyone else will be asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I won't notice.
Yeah, you'll notice when you don't sleep for a month.
When my eyes will not stay open.
Yeah. So for those of you who like the long days, the longest days are coming up. We're in that stretch right now. 2 weeks starting on Friday. We're basically going to see sunset after 9 o'clock at night, which is kind of neat. This next song is also, no, it's not 25, it's 30. If you can believe, this song is 30 years old. From one of America's great pop bands, one of America's great party bands, who actually broke up for a while in the early 1980s, and then got back together and had an album that was a massive, massive success. That album was called Cosmic Thing. The band is called the B-52s.
Aw, my dears.
And what you may not know about that album is that after a member of the band had passed away and they were deciding what they were going to do, when they were in the process of figuring out what would become Cosmic Thing, they got back into the studio, and this was the very first track that they recorded. This is WMFO Medford. We'll be right back.
mud.
In the red mud.
Mosquitoes and water moccasins. Kittens and crocodiles. This imagination really drives me wild. Go, 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 go.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Go, 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 go.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Go, 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 go.
Let's get in the mud.
Let's go, 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 go.
I think I'm in love.
Wholesomeness, quality, convenience, value for your dollar. These are just a few things to consider when you're buying beef for your freezer. Basically, you have three choices. You can buy beef as a side or a quarter, you can buy wholesale cuts, or you can choose retail cuts. And deciding which to buy, you should consider the amount of beef you can store in your freezer, the amount your family can use in a reasonable time, and the kinds of meat your family enjoys. If your family likes steak, for example, it's probably best to buy a large quantity of the kind they like when it's a featured special at your retail store. A side of beef, on the other hand, will give you about one-third steaks, one-third roast, and one-third stew or ground beef. If you want to learn more about buying meat for your freezer, we have some free information. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Derek Carey. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 8-